Friends, we're back for as regular of an edition of Cheaters Never Win as we could possibly do, considering the fact that we have assembled Mike in the form of Voltron, or assembled Voltron in the form of Mike, I guess, as it would be. We're here in Dallas. We are joined again by a group of fantastic people. First and foremost, to my left, Meg.
Yes. Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Tom, you be here, right?
I'm here. I'm not on the couch that you're on, but, you know, it's...
No, that's because I'm on
the couch. There's proximity, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the couch is only but so long.
Phrasing? Are we still doing phrasing? Is this the earliest we've gone to phrasing?
No, probably not.
No, I'm sure.
I mean, it is currently 10:19 Central Time.
I meant earliest in recording
the
podcast.
Oh, no. The timestamp.
Yeah, it might be. It might be.
Okay.
All right. We're joined once again by Canalytics.
Hello there.
Leaning in to share wisdom bit by bit. And then on the live Twitter update machine, hockey guru Pat Clark.
How's it going, everybody?
Going pretty well. I don't know if you're talking to the audience because they can't really hear you based on the way podcasts work, but or respond to you, I should say. So, folks, we had a hell of a first day here in Dallas. Despite getting, I believe, what we'd like to call minimal sleep, thankfully we made it in before the Canes crew yesterday with their flight of doom.
Pretty sure everybody made it in before the Canes crew.
That had to suck. For those who didn't keep up with the Twitter machines and WRAL news alerts that a plane had to make an emergency landing, the Canes media crew was on the plane circling RDU for the better part of 2 hours and didn't arrive until, well, we've had lots of beers and flights of bacon.
Yes, so much bacon on slabs of wood.
Oh, delicious. I will be getting more of that before we leave, because how often can you get lamb bacon?
Well, the preferable flight of anything.
Yes, absolutely. So, Meg, you put out a hurricane watch this morning.
I did. You're welcome.
Yeah, that was fantastic. We do the right thing today, right?
God, I hope so. I didn't bring enough tissues if we didn't, so...
There may not be enough tissues in Dallas if we don't.
I mean, we could put that to the yes.
Some of us may need tissues if things go right.
Thought about that when I said it, and I set it up for you, buddy.
Good night, everybody.
Good God. So, I mean, from everything we're hearing, Svechnikov and Dundon are just palling around town, going to Starbucks.
Marveling over salads?
Yes. How majestic of a salad does it have to be to marvel over it? Like, what's got to be in that salad? Other than a flight of bacon.
Beef belly bacon.
My initial thought was go immediately to a hamburger patty.
On a salad.
I've seen it not once, not twice. Rice.
What are you watching?
No, I just have some weird coworkers who will never listen to this. But
so you can mention them by name.
I will not.
How about mention them by home address?
Charlotte, we'll do a Jim, search. Frank, stop with your salads. No hamburgers on salads.
There we go.
Frank's the worst for that.
We'll put the address in post.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. No, I mean, everything we're hearing, it is going to be Svechnikov. What if the Sabres do something really stupid, though?
Like, take Svechnikov?
Yeah, like, for them it'd be stupid at one, but what if the Sabres step up there and GM, not Tim Murray, says more than three words, and Buffalo takes Andrei Svechnikov, number one? What do the Canes do? Tom, you look incredibly pensive.
I won't say immediately. We'll take all the time that we have at that point, because that phone's going to start ringing immediately. Mm-hmm. And the player that we want isn't necessarily there, but the player that everybody wants is there. So we'll go, we'll shop that pick, I think, until we have to make the pick. And if we don't find necessarily a draft, I can't use words today. Ooh. It's still technically early. If we can't find a trade that we want, then you go. You draft Aline, and then you can always make the trade after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Or you keep Darlene and trade someone else.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We are in a fantastic position sitting there at two, because Buffalo's going to take Darlene. But if they don't, it's fun to speculate on this. That's what's a lot of fun about the draft. Unless you're Bob McKenzie and you don't really care what Montreal does at three, it's a lot of fun to think about. But I think we're all kind of in agreement. Those two things are set in stone. The fun really starts, because there are going to be tears from Montreal fans no matter who they pick at three, right? I mean, if they take Kotkaniemi, they're going to be upset. If they take Kachuk, they're going to be upset. If they take Zadina, they might be less upset.
There are no French-Canadian centers available at three. Mm.
So no future captains?
No, of course not.
Unless they get a Rosetta Stone.
Wait, does Vinny Dampoos have a kid in the draft? Or do we know about this?
I don't know. Are you breaking news?
No, I'm just asking. No, my draft prep, I toned it down a little this year, so I can only go about two names deep.
Okay. What are those two names?
The two players that Canes are going to get, either Dahlin or they're getting Svechnikov. Yeah.
I like it. When you say two players in the Canes, there's also two players that might not be Hurricanes by the end of the day, right? I mean, there's a lot of chatter, a lot of conversations, if you will. You know, some people like to say on Twitter, a lot of conversations, which always happen at the draft, but Skinner and Falk. I'm wearing my Skinner North American Tour shirt because I fear it's the last day he may be a Carolina Hurricane. At the end of this day, are Skinner and Falk both Hurricanes? Are one of them still wearing the sightless eye or the new whatever third jersey logo is going to be on there? Are they wearing that still at the end of the day?
One is and one isn't.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm more curious to see what happens after the end of tomorrow.
Okay.
Like, I think we're going to see a lot of action leading up into the first round, but I don't think we're going to see many transactions happen on the floor while we're in the building. Yeah. And I think we're just kind of in a waiting pattern. We're waiting for the first domino to fall. And some people think it might be Max Pacioretty from Montreal. I'm kind of leaning towards Carlson from Ottawa.
Okay, so which of the two is not here then?
I think Falk's first shipped out.
Really?
All right. Do you think he goes to Edmonton as was speculated for what feels like 3 years?
Potentially, yeah. The idea of him going to Washington is kind of creeping up in my mind more and more. Should GM Voltron be interested in Grubauer?
Is Grubauer worth that, though?
No. I think the asking price right now that's been put out there, and I think GM Ryan McClellan has said he thinks he can get a first-round pick. I think it's too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's... I heard some grumblings from over here about, that's too much. But, like, is that too much for Grubauer?
Yeah. I mean, like, Darling... What was Darling, a second-rounder?
A third.
And then when Cam Talbot went to Edmonton, he was a second, so... I don't understand why he should be more than that.
I mean, I think it's based on those two really strong playoff games, right? Yeah. Grubauer was just magic in those.
I think the last time a first went for a goalie was Corey Schneider went nine overall, which was Bo Horvat.
Correct.
Yeah. So, hey, I was paying attention at that draft.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Well, the Islanders are the team with two first-round picks to pay, and they are looking for a goalie, so...
But there are other teams that have multiple first-round picks.
Are they looking for Philip Grubauer?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Islanders are always looking for a goalie in the same way that Philly is always looking for a goalie.
In the same way that we're always looking for a goalie?
No, Meg, you know we're not always looking for a goalie. We've had Cam Ward. Should we broach this now? I can see Tom vomiting through his eyeballs when I mentioned Cam Ward.
That's a T-shirt idea right there.
But does it make sense to make a merch on someone that's not going to be around next season?
No. So we tweeted it out last night, but it was really funny. While we were waiting in line for the Puck Soup live podcast, which was a blast, there's Dallas Stars player Steven Johns, I think was his name. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic.
Future Carolina Hurricane, because he was a delight.
Yes. He was very delightful.
To see him. He's an RFA, so let's go get him. It'll probably be at a pretty reasonable price. And he looked to be a sizable young man. But while we're in line... We're wearing Hurricanes gear, so we're easily identifiable. Started talking with some Stars fans. And, of course, we, you know, chatting about this player and that player and mentioned Cam Ward. And we're like, you know, we like to bag on Cam Ward all the time, but let's get an outsider's perspective. So I believe Pat or someone else asked, like, how would you feel if Dallas got Cam Ward? And the response was, yeah, we'd be pretty bummed. I think that just says it all, like, right?
That's been the last 7 years for us, so.
Yeah. Oh, God. We just need to go our separate ways. Someday love will find Cam, but we've touched and now we need to go our separate ways.
Yeah, I've said this enough on Twitter, but Cam Ward is the horrible relationship that the Canes have been in for the last, you know, forever. But with that bad girlfriend or boyfriend, the one that you swear that you're going to break up with, but then, you know, a week later, you guys are all happy again and everything's fine. You go through the highs and the lows and it never gets to that positive place, truly, but there's always the threat that...
You seem to be forgetting five games in November.
Mm. Oh, exactly. It's those December. Five games in November where
it was
like...
December.
It was December last year. Yeah, I think it was November the year before. But yes, it's whatever holiday that happens to be in Kane's Land. But sometimes you realize that sometimes there's good, sometimes there's bad in a relationship, but sometimes you realize that you have to walk away from it to get away from the roller coaster and get on something that's better for both sides. And unfortunately, at this point, Cam's been here so long, there may not be anything for him if he's not a Carolina Hurricane. But
all right, let me ask the room here. Strongest Carolina Hurricanes love affair. The organization with Cam Ward, Jim Rutherford with Chad LaRose, or Bill Peters with Derek Ryan?
It's Cam Ward.
It's Cam Ward, yeah.
Wow, that was quick.
No, I mean, it's the longest relationship out of those. Yeah.
It's true, over
but
a
did
decade.
It burn the brightest? I feel like Peters and Ryan really just caught lightning in a bottle there.
We can revisit that question next year in Calgary, but...
I mean, he was a starter for, what, 11 years?
Yeah.
That's insane. 11 years
that's
Cam Ward. He's not Henrik Lundqvist. He's Cam Ward.
Two GMs and how many coaches? Four coaches?
Yeah. What other goalies have started that many games for one organization that weren't Hall of Fame caliber?
Right. That's what I was thinking when you were going to that. It was... Whenever you have that kind of run, it's because there's no question that you should never be replaced. But the question of Cam being replaced has been up there for since 2010, 2011, I think, was his last quote-unquote good
season. The lockout
season.
Above league average percentage?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Oliver mentioned Lundqvist. Like, who else is up there of the has played, you know, more than, like, eight seasons as a starter for one franchise? Brodeur?
Hasek was
because he started in Chicago before going to Buffalo.
But I mean, he was in Buffalo for a long time.
Yeah, and then he made his jump in Detroit and Ottawa. And
mm-hmm.
Quick's got to be getting close to that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true. So yeah, those are some pretty damn good names. I mean, Price, I don't know how long he's been in Montreal, but that's been
not that long.
A while, right?
Not Cam Ward long.
6 or 7 years, I think.
Yeah,
at least. So
he's getting there.
Yeah. All right. So Pat answered the Falk Skinner question, but I want to get thoughts from the rest of Voltron over here. Are Skinner and Falk, or Skinner or Falk, still here by the end of, let's say, both days of the draft?
I'm going to go out on a limb and just kind of speak like Kaniac Nation and say that neither one of them are getting traded at the draft. There may be some kind of movement, but I think, especially not after today, today being Friday, the first day of the draft.
Yes.
If this happens to go out same day. I think that, I mean, there's so much movement really in regards to the first round and making that first round pick, importantly, for all the other teams that are involved. I mean, we're kind of mailing it in at this point, but for the other teams, you're trying to figure out who's dropping, moving, and that type of thing. So I think there's a lot of focus there, not necessarily on trading assets for assets. So it's that second day of the draft where we wake up and we have breakfast and then we realize all the things have happened.
That's a good point. That doesn't mean when a lot of those trades happen is between 7 and 9 in the morning of day 2 of the draft.
Yeah.
So I have a question. In specifically related to Skinner, he has a no-move clause. So if they're working out a deal for him with another team... they would have to get his buy-off on it the deal happens.
Yeah,
so could that happen within the span of the draft?
I think so. So is it a modified no move, or is it a full?
It's full.
It's full.
Okay, so Pat, Tom, y'all know this far better than I do, and since Meg asked the question, I'm assuming then Meg, but...
I didn't bring the binder with me, just saying.
Do you think it's probably that he has already given them a list of teams he'd be willing to move to, and then, you know, because he doesn't have any... control over what the return is. It's just, are you okay with going to this team? Like, is that already probably set with Skinner based on how much it's been talked about that, you know, his name is out there.
So we're in this weird new world where the GM of the team is kind of forthcoming with comments. And Waddell made mention, I don't think he has asked for a list.
I think Skinner. I remember, you're right.
And
yeah, I think so.
I think it's more a situation, he's going to work on a deal, present it to his agent, who's most likely, you know, going to be in the building most of the day today with the other GMs.
Okay, so when you say present a deal, though, like, do they like, talking to his agent, do they just tell him, hey, here's the team he's going to? Or do you think they, like, talk terms of a deal with an agent?
It depends on any trade return. I have a feeling he will just be a rental at this point, and then that future team can, you know, they can entertain the idea of an extension later.
Okay.
Since he can't sign, he cannot sign, but he can agree to terms before July 1st. I think he's just going to, I'd be surprised if he doesn't jump at any opportunity, save for three or four teams. Mainly probably the Montreal Canadiens.
He probably doesn't want to go to Ottawa.
Probably not. But you know what? He's from Ontario.
I'm just saying that organization right now is a complete tire fire.
It is, but honestly, it
depends on how bad he wants to get out of here.
Yeah.
If he wants to get out of here.
Yeah, and it would make Matt Duchene a little happier, losing one winger, getting a new one.
But if you're going to go to a team for 1 year, you're not going to go to a team that has almost zero chance of competing.
And I mean, I think that's why an agent has to see the actual deal instead of giving a list of teams to go to, because you don't necessarily want to sign off and go, okay, I'll take part of that trade and find out that, say, oh, I'm going to, you know, team A, but team A is trading a major player in return. That's not necessarily helping me win a Stanley Cup or do something really well. Mm-hmm. Or that's the player that I was looking forward to playing with on that team, and he's coming back in the other direction. I don't think I want that. So they're going to need, the agent and Skinner are going to need to actually know the full terms of the trade instead of just listing a bunch of teams, I think, at that point. So that's I think, where they're sitting.
And I think the Canes, based on what we're hearing through published reports, you know, the teams that are interested in him are all playoff caliber teams. Mm-hmm. So Los Angeles was the first one linked several weeks or a month or two ago by Elliot Friedman.
Just for everyone's benefit, when you said Los Angeles, I noticed one of our live studio audience members completely perked up from whatever she was doing. He said, ooh, Los Angeles. And for those listening, that would be our dear friend Ashley, better known on Twitter as Save by Quick. 4 A's?
Okay, we finally have the answer.
I thought it was at least 11.
You could just look.
Here's my thoughts about Jeff is that he won't be traded until July 2nd. Teams like LA are looking at other people, like what Zucker's out there, Pacioretty's out there, Ilya Kovalchuk. So I think it's going to wait to see, especially for the Kovalchuk thing, because you don't have to trade for him.
So that brings up an interesting point. I think Kovalchuk, he's meeting with teams today.
Mm-hmm.
I know his agent's in town. I don't know if he's physically in town with us in Dallas. But I have a feeling he's going to tip his hand, or at least most teams want to know. So he might narrow it down to one or two teams, and that opens the field. But some of the teams that were interested besides LA, we've heard St. Louis. We've heard Boston. We heard Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, and Skinner or Kovalchuk?
No, for Skinner.
For Skinner.
I hadn't heard the Boston thing for Skinner.
That's a little new. I don't know how relevant or how accurate it is, but and the Skinner, name kind of comes out there.
And I think Skinner, you know, feel good in Boston because he could dunk on Torrey Krug.
Mm-hmm.
He would have multiple players there that he's taller than. Right?
Oh my God! Yeah. he instead of being on the first row of the school picture, he'd actually stand in the back.
Oh, look at little Jeffy in the back row of the class picture. Oliver, when you said July 2nd, made me think, were you wondering if Skinner might go to Buffalo for Ryan O'Reilly? But then I realized there's no way in hell Skinner would waive his no-move clause to go to Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't think that's – I just think it's going to – you're going to see all the signings on the 1st, and the NHL moves slow, so – the 2nd sounds like a reasonable date for that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you'd see Skinner gone at the draft.
Okay.
Falk could go anytime.
Yeah.
Like, he could go like
really
5 minutes
from now.
I
don't think Falk is going to move, though, either. Like, I feel like that's a little bit more of a fan base so it's projecting.
Like, it's almost like there's a lot of talk that happens at the draft and less action than there is talk.
Correct.
Hopefully it'll be more than last year, because I know we were super excited for some Canes moves and nothing happened. So our GM has changed considerably since then. So yeah.
I think Skinner is bound to happen, only because I think they need to clear out top nine roster spots for Necas and hopefully Svechnikov when everything actually goes according to plan.
That sounds like fun. I'm excited about it, but I mean, I think it's still kind of the issue of the top end talent. Like Svechnikov, I'm not trying to pencil him in as Gordie Howe right now. I think that would be unwise, and I think there would be maybe some people in local media that may take umbrage with that comparison already. But it's like the top flight talent, save for Aho, is not exactly there. Mm. Like, I think there were, 25, 30 guys in the league, at least, that scored north of 75 points, and we didn't have any.
Yeah.
I mean, we need that kind of player. Mm-hmm. And I think Aho might become that guy who can have 70 or so, but if we're only going to have one guy at 70, that's still a problem, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you have, five guys at 65, then you go,
well, we had the two Finns in the 60s, and if Aho doesn't start slow, he could get to 70, pretty easily. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You use the right length of stick. Tom, you okay with that?
I wasn't holding the mic at that time, but...
I know you weren't, but you can pass it back and forth.
Are we talking about shaft length?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just talking about shaft.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, God. It's been a hell of a weekend.
Not even the weekend yet, man.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Friday.
It's my weekend. If I'm not at work, it's a weekend. I think that's kind of the way I've grown to look at things now.
Well, it might be the weekend when you're listening to this. So. Yeah.
I'm trying to transition to talk about other draft things, but all I can think about is a flight of bacon.
it was so good.
It was.
Are we fantasy drafting what's on your flight of bacon?
Oh, we totally could. So it's on our Section328 Instagram. I know we've tweeted about it both from our personal accounts and from the 328 account. But at Brain Dead Brewing in the Deep Ellum neighborhood of Dallas, not only do they have delightful beer, but they also have a flight of bacon, which is a flight of four delightful beers that I don't believe any of their beers are distributed out of the state, so unfortunately you can't pick them up at Bottle Mix, but I'm actually drinking a beer that you can get at Bottle Mix later, and I will talk about that later on in this podcast. But they have a flight of bacon. It's four different bacons from four different animals. You have traditional pork bacon, which was fantastic bacon.
Yeah, I mean...
beef belly bacon, which tasted like ribeye cap to me. Lamb bacon and duck bacon.
Yeah, bacon from places you wouldn't expect. I mean,
the foot.
I don't know where it came from on the particular animal, and I choose not to know that information.
Yeah, you don't want to know how the bacon's made, huh?
No.
Actually, I do want to know how the bacon's made. I don't want to know how the sausage is made.
No, there's a lot of grinding.
The bacon goes in the mouth hole.
Bacon goes in the bacon hole. Though. Yeah, we went there not once but twice yesterday. We're probably going to make another visit this trip.
At least one more.
I want to explore more that Dallas has to offer, but I also want to explore the depths to which I can enjoy this flight of bacon.
We literally loved it so much that we gave our waitress a ticket to the draft.
Yeah.
That's the level that we're working at right now.
She was also just a great human being.
Yeah, she was awesome.
I mean, let's also make it very clear. We had an extra ticket to the draft. Like, we didn't draw straws. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, Oliver, can't go to the draft. We love this waitress so much. She's now in your place.
She was that nice, though.
I mean, yeah.
She was great. She was great. But I like Oliver a little better. Hope you're okay with that.
It's worth it for the mouthfeel of the bacon flavor.
Good Lord. So we were talking last night while consuming more beer and bacony goodness. If you were to put an over-under on number of trades in the first round from all teams, not just the Hurricanes. So by the first round, I guess I could include, I'll go like just during the day today. If you put it at over or under 1.5 trades, would you take the over or the under?
Over.
I think you over.
Yeah, I think you go. Now we're talking just trades that are happening today, not necessarily four picks in the first round.
Right.
But
yeah.
Actual
You mean player for player?
We have a trade to announce.
The trade was one for one.
The trade was one for one. Yeah, I think the over sounds fair. I don't think we've had a draft in the last 10 years that hasn't had at least a couple of trades happen on day one.
I mean, last year wasn't that busy, and I think we still had, what, three trades?
Three or four we were, like, I think we were recording the same episode last year in Chicago, mm-hmm. and there were at least two that happened while we were on mic.
Oh, so. I feel like the Stephon and Renta trade happened, like, earlier that day, too.
Was last year the Ryan Reeves for a first-rounder trade?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was during the first round.
I think my favorite tweet after that one is like, okay, Rutherford's won two cups in a row, and now he's adjusting the difficulty slider by getting Ryan Reeves for a first-round pick. Like, oh, okay, I'll win this on hard mode.
Yeah, how'd that work out for him?
He's in Vegas now.
In fairness, it wasn't him for a first. They moved down out of the first.
Right.
But more realistically, it was St. Louis moving into the first to get the Russian dude. I can't remember his name.
Tarasenko?
No, Kim Clausen. Yeah.
So, Kim Clijsters?
Yes. Just throw all the names out there. It's any combination of those words you just heard. But yeah, they moved up into the first because he was considered, I think, a decently high in the draft.
Top 10
slid
to
down.
Top 15 talent.
I think there was question because he was playing in the KHL and everyone's afraid of KHL players.
Except for Tampa.
Oh, yeah. And look what it gets them.
Nashville, not so much. For those who love this podcast and know that one of the things we enjoy doing is providing live in-game updates, right now, Nigeria and Iceland tied at zero in first half stoppage time. So there's that.
It wouldn't be a podcast without live updates.
Yeah. And my God, that Iceland roster.
All of the sons.
All of the large adult sons.
Oh, so many sons. There was a man just wearing an actual flag sticking up from his scarf. Like one of the flags you'd see on a desk at a Model UN was affixed to his scarf. That was a delight. Love World Cup fashion.
We should integrate a little of that into our opening night routine for next year.
World Cup fashion?
Scarves?
Tiny flags adorning?
Why not? We need to have a little more fun.
I think that's usually been the knock on us, is too little fun.
Yeah.
Fun for some, tiny flags for everyone.
Yeah. We've done kazoo night. We could do flag night.
Interesting fact, kazoo night was going to be flag night.
What?
Yeah. When I originally went to Party City to look for flags, because it was the first game, I think, that we had the All-American defense, because Slavin and Pesci had been recently called up, and we had six defensemen that we were starting that night, All-American. So I was going to get stupid little American flags so that we could be like the Rougeau brothers.
Yes!
And I went looking for flags and could not find little American flags. So while I'm searching through Party City, I see the jug o' kazoos. I tweeted it out like, wow, this is a horrible idea. And then I, of course, bought them and brought them to the game that night, and it became kazoo night.
For some reason, when you said jug of kazoos, I picture them all in like a nice candy jar, like your grandmother keeps butterscotch stuff.
Well, Party City has these like areas where you can just kind of like, it's like the bulk candy aisle, but it's bulk plastic crap.
I think that should be Party City's new slogan, bulk plastic crap. It's not wrong. It serves its purpose.
There's a reason I don't have a job in marketing.
Yeah, you're not exactly buying heirloom pieces at Party City.
Not so much.
Pat, any phone updates from the Twitter machine over there?
All is quiet on the Twitter machine. I think everyone is still recovering from a good time last night. Lots of people flew in late.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're just in a wait-and-see pattern.
Okay.
And hopefully by in the next hour or two, or as soon as this pod drops, everything will be
all
out of date.
All the things will happen.
All the things will happen.
Did all the real activity happen at the athletic party that we weren't invited to last night?
We were not invited because you have to have local coverage to be invited.
Yeah?
Yeah. As all but...
Speaking of local coverage,
yes.
Fun fact. The Raleigh News and Observer is sent a representative to the draft for the first time since 2007.
That is fun.
Oh, they're beat writers. The beat writers down here?
No.
Oh. Whomst is representing the News and Observer.
Past and future guest of this very podcast, Mr. Luke DeCock, is in Dallas this weekend.
Oh, I heard he's a Gordie Howe fan.
But if that just tells you what kind of weekend it can be for this franchise when, you know.
When Luke DeCock's showing
up? When there's actual local media.
To marvel at salads?
I mean, he was probably at the Athletic at that party.
Why are you going to get a salad anywhere in Dallas when you could have meat sweats?
Because in
Your name is Jeff Merrick.
Jeff Merrick should eat all the meats while he's here. I know.
Well, he's going to outlive all of us, so.
That's a fair point.
Well, he should not eat the vegan queso that I ate.
I feel like Dallas, the quantity and variety of meats I've already seen available to us, makes Brazilian steakhouses seem like a sweet tomatoes.
Well, I think technically if you order a salad here, even without any kind of meat, they will still smoke it.
Based on conversations we had before recording, I was like, maybe that's how they can tell if you're a cop.
Yeah.
Like the guy over there eating a salad. Shh, put the drugs away, put the drugs away.
Smoking salad's what gets you signed in Denver, I think. And soon in Canada.
In Vegas.
October 17th, so right before the opening, or right after opening night.
That's my mom's birthday. Oh.
The Smoking Salads, better IHL or ECHL team name?
IHL.
Yeah, IHL.
Oh, God, can we get a whatever the hell cup finals between the Smoking Salads and the Solar Bears?
Wait, now.
The Kelly Cup?
It wouldn't be smoking. It would be smoke in with an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Of course.
What, huh? Of smoking?
For smoking salads, it would be S-M-O-K-I-N apostrophe.
So would you hear a Jim Carrey soundbite after every goal?
Oh, God. I hate that team already.
Absolutely.
Smocking.
Somebody stop me. That would be the most obnoxious hockey. There, we've got our new goal song.
Oh, no.
One of the 17 sounds that can play after we score a goal.
So, Tom, have we talked about goal songs on this podcast? I know Mike and I talked about it a little bit, but you have not been able to make the case for the Sami Zayn song.
No, I have not been invited onto the podcast. I have another podcast that I've mentioned this on that it's called Cheaters Never Pin.
It's a fine, fine wrestling podcast. If you enjoy the professional grapplings of very athletic men and women, Check out the Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
Yeah.
You do a great job.
This is how I get plugs for that podcast on this one. I haven't been on since we've had this discussion about goal songs, and the Canes have gone out and asked the fan base for ideas for goal songs. They've got some of their own in mind, but they wanted to kind of open up for ideas, goal songs that they hadn't necessarily thought of. And I've been on this. I've had tunnel vision for Sami Zayn's theme song for the last, I think, 2 years practically, to get it as the goal song, because I just think it works so perfectly from a activity standpoint. It gets people up, it gets them moving, it has something to yell at first, that let's go. It gets people potentially dancing if you're into that whole skank mode.
That sounds like a very different activity, Tom, being into the whole skank mode.
Skanking's what you do when you hear ska. It has a chant along with it, and I think that's the best part of a goal song, because goal songs end, but if you have the crowd still making the noise, yes. But if you have the crowd still going once the puck drops again, it just gives that environment. I think the thing with the Knights was, it was kind of a cool song that people got into, but the moment that song stopped, the crowd would just sit down and be like, okay, we're going to play hockey now. The crowd still wasn't excited. You should get into that. When we score a goal, the crowd should still be into it. Once the puck drops again, we start playing. It gets a crowd live, and that's what I think that song does.
So I'm on board with your decision, even though I would like one of my songs to be the choice. They'll never happen for family-friendly reasons. Meg wants some kind of strange
No, she wants Demi Lovato.
I thought it was like overly sugary pop music.
Oh, yes. I would like the most trashy pop music. yes. But you know what? I will not fight that battle. I will, as long as they don't make it Wagon Wheel or Sweet Caroline or...
Papa. Okay, sorry. Sweet Caroline anyway. Is what is going on the nachos next year.
Holy shit.
Shout out to our buddy JC, who is not here with us, but shared when we had the discussion on the Old Sheet Mail podcast of what is the relationship between Stormy and Caroline. And he pointed out that we all missed a good opportunity. Like, what, are they husband and wife? Are they kin? Are they just dating? Are they just friends? And JC said, nah, they're just porking.
Oh my God.
So credit to JC for that one. We all missed a golden opportunity with that, and I think we should all feel at least a modicum of shame.
He's here with us in spirit.
Yes, spirits. We will be consuming some spirits later on this evening and recording the Drunk Cheaters Never Win podcast, where we will have round one to talk about, possibly some trays to talk about, probably some booze to talk about, and a whole lot of insanity.
And a giant Russian new son named Andre, hopefully.
Yes, we're acquiring a large son today.
And people are very enthused with the size of his forearms, the size of his thighs, his pectorals. Our new hashtag is subverting heteronormativity for Smashnikov.
I just want to watch him work a potter's wheel so bad.
So, yeah, there's kind of a snippet of what you get. That one is going to be exclusive for our patrons for reasons that will become evident when you listen. Head over to patreon.com/section328. You can check it all out there. Yes, Tom.
I was going to say, you were speaking of the reasons. The word felony comes to mind. But that was last year, not this year. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, there was discussion of a potential felony last year. That didn't happen. Want to make that very, very well known. That did not. Oliver's winking. Oliver, have something in your eye? Need one of those tissues from the draft?
I have no comment.
Oh, man. Trying to think of what the hell else is going on with hockey things that we need to talk about.
Torts?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Kind of a big deal in
the division. You mean trots?
And by torts, you mean trots.
Yeah, that's, what, the third time I've done that?
Yeah
it's...
Damn Spoonerisms.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's now with the Isles. What's the deal on that one, Pat?
Apparently it's five years, $4 million per.
Okay.
That's a significant raise.
Yeah. So what is he going to be, if Tavares stays on the aisle, is Trotz now going to become the cup whisperer?
If he can fix that defense, he would be severely underpaid. You know, I mean, Babcock, he should get double what Babcock does if he could make the Islanders a cup champ in the next 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's fair. What else? What the hell else happened? Well, I thought there was one other move that happened yesterday or some piece of news. I think it may have just been the fact that Tavares is looking likely to stay on the aisle.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's confirmed.
The other minor bit of news was Dan Bylsma was hired as an assistant in Detroit.
So for a year, and then he'll be the head coach in Detroit?
Most likely.
Unless, of course, Detroit does really well this season, and then they extend. I couldn't get that out.
Can you give a coach a no movement clause?
I don't know. Can you?
Ask Tom.
Tom, you're the CBA guy. Can you give a coach a no move clause?
You cannot. Or you could, I guess. I mean, the coaches' contracts aren't really covered by the CBA. It's a players' agreement. So you can give whatever you want to coaches for the most part.
You know who doesn't have a no move clause?
What's that?
Dawn Meyer of Fathom Realty. In fact, she has a pro move clause in her contract. So if you go to becauseitshome.com, she can help you sell your house. She can help you buy a house. I don't know if she'll help you move, but she will be excited to be a part of the moving process. So she is the official realtor of Section 328. Forget a chuler. Get a fantastic realtor. Dawn is awesome. Go to becauseitshome.com, and she will be more than happy to be your enforcer in the housing market, which I've heard in Raleigh is a bit aggressive at times.
That's an understatement.
Yes, Pat, you have seen the assertiveness of the housing market.
Oh, yeah. I put an offer on the house over the weekend, and it was listed for 2 days.
Had 37 offers, all cash.
No, this is more like an NHL transaction where only four or five teams could actually afford to put in a real offer.
Okay.
Yeah, we did not get the house.
Maybe you can clear out some cap room, and I wish you best of luck. So becauseitshome.com, if you were looking for a house, Don will take phenomenal care of you.
Pat, have you considered getting Milan Lucic?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked, Tom.
He wants to make his offer tougher to play against.
I understand we're having troubles getting to the cap floor.
Oh, jeez.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I've heard it is hard.
According to ESPN, it is.
Yeah, when you only have like half the necessary players signed, it is usually more challenging to get to the floor.
Yeah.
When you have to re-sign Elias Lindholm.
Now, I will say, Emily, each morning on ESPN.com, they do like a little morning report where they just, three or four of their writers just write a quick two, three paragraph blurb on whatever topic du jour they happen to come up with. And I think the one we're referencing was about like what change or what trade would you logistically see happening. And Milan Lucic for Jeff Skinner, or was it Justin Fall?
It was for Skinner. There was another one for Justin Fall.
So Emily Kaplan threw out that suggestion, and I think she spent a fraction of the time thinking about it than we have over analyzing what she wrote. But I'm in a camp. I don't hate the idea of acquiring Lucic if Edmonton eats half his salary, and knowing that he's going to get bought out next compliance buyout season.
No.
I don't want to start going down that road.
I really don't either, because that's going to make me very sad when that happens.
But it's coming.
Good times. Things that don't make me sad, the fact that we have a full day ahead of us here in Dallas. Lots of draft funness. Lots of local foods. We're going to try to make it to an In-N-Out, so that way two
Thank
people in
you.
This room don't murder the other six. I think that's really important for everyone. Also important is the fact that when I was coming down here, I figured I won't be able to drink a beer, or won't want to drink a good beer that's probably available back in Raleigh. But sure enough, picked up a six-pack of Deschutes Fresh Squeezed, which is just so nice. And that one is available at Bottle Mix. So Bottle Mix on Creedmoor Road, they are south of 540, north of the mall, in the Brennan Station Shopping Center.
Is that the one that has Margos in it?
It is the one that has Margos in it. So Bottle Mix is almost directly across the parking lot from Margos. Go in there, see Bruce, see Dustin, and say, hey, I heard about the Deschutes Fresh Squeeze on the Cheaters Ever Win podcast, and I want to try that outstanding IPA made in Bend, Oregon, that is 6.4% alcohol and has Citra and Mosaic hops. If you say all of that, one, I'll be really impressed, and I bet Dustin and Bruce will too. But I think you'll enjoy this beer a lot. I'm drinking it out of a can because there's not proper glassware here in the Airbnb, and I'm a bit snobby and just also...
No!
I know. We're
Get all, out of the town!
We're all seated here. This beer it's delicious. The hops on it are bright. They're a little piney. They're a little citrusy. It tastes nice and fresh. It doesn't say when this can was canned, but it says the beer is best by late September, which makes me think it's been brewed pretty recently.
Well, it doesn't just say squeezed IPA. It says fresh squeezed IPA.
It does say fresh squeezed IPA.
And why would a can lie to you?
I have no idea. It's delicious. I've had a bunch of these. I want to say they're about a couple bucks a pop at Bottle Mix. So go in there and check them out. They are the official beer and wine purveyor of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. And if you're looking for this beer, you want something even a little lighter for summer, you want some wine, you want to crush all the rosé with whatever it is you're eating, whether it's a burger on a salad, a smoked salad, a flight of bacon, rosé makes a great accompaniment to that, and Bottle Mix can hook you up with all the rosé you care and wish to drink.
I'm marveling at all those salad choices.
Smoked burger salad.
Which rosé pairs best with bacon?
I think we should find out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I would be that guy who would happily get a flight of bacon with a flight of rosés.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling judgment that shouldn't be here, but it is.
There is no judgment in this room when I'm in a room.
It is palpable.
I'm already feeling bad because I interrupted you during your beer review.
No.
And I know that's a thing that Flanagan does not generally do, so...
That's fine. Look, this is an interactive podcast. Well, kind of. I don't think we have an app for that where it works that way, but...
Plus, we're all drinking beer right now. Well,
not that's false. Of us are. That is false.
Yeah, most of us are drinking beer. The amateurs are waiting. And, you know, I think we should probably make sure that everyone can put booze in the booze hole. So, yeah, I think it's time to get things rolling from Dallas. We're excited to bring you a lot more coverage. This is podcast 2 of 3. This is 2 of 2 for ones that are available outside the Patreon paywall. If you want podcast 3 of 3, head over to section328.com, click the support on Patreon button, check us out there. And in addition to getting access to the drunk podcast, there are also some phenomenal rewards available, like t-shirts and so on. So check us out. We appreciate all the support. And again, it is due in large part to support of our patrons that we are able to be here in Dallas to provide this coverage. So a sincere thank you to everyone who supports us there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
And Derek, 2 notes as we wrap up.
Oh, okay.
Can we get one more live in-game update?
Yeah, yes, we can. The second half has just started, and because it takes more than a minute and 18 seconds to score a goal in soccer, still tied at bagels between Nigeria and Iceland.
What kind of bagels?
Why did you guys have to say bagels?
Screw you, Hannah. Just say it.
So we can look forward to Tom's post of which hurricane is which bagel.
I won't reveal who's the egg bagel.
Is that the worst?
No, I actually like egg bagels.
Okay. What is the worst bagel? Brugger's is an easy option, but...
No. This takes
slander time. Bagel bites in my pizza, presence, sir.
When pizza's on a bagel,
you can have pizza anytime.
Right. So.
Because
usually pizza is so elusive.
Yeah.
Can you fold a bagel? Whoa.
I can. I don't know who else can.
How much meat could you put on a pizza? I'd like to find that out today.
Okay. I don't know. Last year we found that you can put a lot of meat in a casserole dish.
Yeah. But this year I'd like it on a pizza.
Okay.
But last update, nothing on the trade block, but one story of interest to me is Raleigh's own Tyler Weiss.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll be hopefully hearing his name called sometime Saturday.
That's awesome.
And I know all the big hype tonight, and everyone going to those in Raleigh going to the draft party at Raleigh Beer Garden. They're all pumped for day one and seeing Svechnikov called, but...
Don't forget that third jersey reveal.
Yeah. So, again, we don't have any behind-the-scenes knowledge, but if I were to speculate, the primary color of this third jersey is going to be black.
Huh.
So I just want to throw that teaser out for everybody.
Take warning.
Yeah, take warning, y'all.
Yeah, but day two is kind of it's a little more fun day for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, seeing all the names and... Oh!
Was there a goal?
There is a goal. Nigeria.
That is an amazing goal celebration.
Just pulled ahead.
That is amazing.
These men appear to be quite pleased with
themselves. Wow, some very heteronormativity right here.
Can you confirm, this was their first goal in World Cup play in how many
I saw games? That they have gone goalless in 6 of their past 11 World Cup games, which I believe is not good. It's a race to 3, though, so we'll see who gets there.
All right, but to wrap things up, everyone's excited about round one. Round one's when all the big names are called, everyone we've heard of. If you can, watch round two.
See what Finn we draft.
See what Finn we draft in the second round, because, I mean,
that's
there's
the rules.
Historical precedence.
It's the rules.
Yeah, rules is rules and shan't be broken.
And then let's root for Tyler Weiss to be drafted.
Hell yeah. That's going to be a great story. So with that, everybody, I think we're going to split. My name is Derek.
I'm Meg.
Did you forget there, Meg?
No.
I'm Tom.
Oliver.
And I'm Pat.
Happy Svechnikov Day.
Happy
Svechnikov Day. And we are out of here.
Bye. 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 Oh.